holding on Zion and Bay is the two lines at the bottom. We learned yesterday, we started talking about there was Birkas Chasanim and there was Birkas Eirsin. So Birkas Eirsin is the bracha that we say nowadays, the first bracha under the chuppah, Asher Tzivonu al Arayas, V'Asalonu Sa'arusas, etc. And after that comes the reading of Ksuba and the Kedushin. Now we're going to talk about Birkas Chasanim, which is the seven brachas. So actually, here the Gemara is only going to list six of them, because it's not mentioning Bari Priya. Leave it open now. We call it Sheva Brachas. The Gemara is only going to list six of them because not listing Bari Priya Gofen. Already though, the Gemara point out that you do say them together with a cup of wine, and therefore you have seven.
Why do we say it only a cup of wine?
Because in general, when you're doing a Dabar Sheva Kedusha, you do it over a cup of wine. The real question is, and the Beis Shmuel discusses this on Shulchan Aruch, why is it under the chuppah we do the bracha on the wine first, and at the Sheva Brachas after benching we do the bracha on the wine last? He says the reason is because if you did the bracha on the wine first after benching, everybody would think you're just doing the bracha on wine, because at the end of benching you make a bracha on a cup of wine. You do Birkas HaZimun on a kos. Like this, when you put the bracha up at the end, you're demonstrating that you're doing it as part of the Sheva Brachas. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan, Mevorchen Birkas Chasanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. You say the Birkas Chasanim with 10 people, as long as you have a minion, throughout all the 7 days after the wedding. And we talked yesterday actually that this is only with the wedding of a bacher, not necessarily if an almon, if a widower marries an almana, then you don't have all 7 days and you only have 1 day. Anyway, Rami Rav Yehuda, v'hu shebo ponim chadashos. This is only if there are new faces there. And we know, all of us have made or been at Sheva Brachas one time or another, and you're always looking for Panim Chadashos. So what's the idea behind Panim Chadashos? There's a number of different explanations. One idea of it is that having new people there who weren't there before adds to the Simcha. So therefore it makes it more appropriate to say the Brachas all over again. Another way of looking at it is just these are people who haven't been there before to hear the brachas, so therefore they have a chiyuv to hear them. Tosfos mentions the idea here, by the way, that Shabbos you don't need panim chadashos because Shabbos itself is considered a panim chadashos. Again, given the idea is that Shabbos, if the idea is, according to the explanation, that the idea is because panim chadashos increases in the simcha, Shabbos also increases the simcha. Then Shabbos also increases the simcha. And Mephoshim talk about, the post can talk about, does the same thing apply to Yom Tov, etc. Incidentally, by the way, on a completely different note, the Rebbe used this a couple of times to explain the concept of Talucha. What's the idea that Talucha, you're walking to some shul a couple of hours away or whatever? Because if we're saying over here that having Panim Chadashos increases the simcha, by the same token, when people see new faces in shul that they haven't seen before, it adds to the simcha of Yom Tov. Yeah. My Mavarech, what are the brachas you say? Chumar Yehuda says as follows. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Baruch L'Chavodo is number one. Number two, V'yotzer Adam. Let's first go through the Nusach, and then we'll explain. Rashi has a long explanation of why the Nusach is the way it is, in particular why the order the way they are, and why is it that some of them, until I reviewed today's Gemara, it never occurred to me, but why is it we find some of these brachas are short, some of them are long, some of them start with baruch, some of them don't. So Rashi has an explanation, and then various other mepharshim also have various explanations of this. So those are two. Number three, Asher Yotzeh Adam B'Tzelemoi. Hashem created man in His image, B'Tzelem Dmus Tzadikisei, in the image of the form of His tzadikis, of His maker. And before Hashem explained that, talking about the guf and the neshama. No, of course not. Chas v'shalom. The Rashi makes a point of saying explicitly not. It means that Hashem created the guf according to a certain plan and created the neshama, and the neshama is a chelik l'kamim ha'mamash, so it reflects Hashem. And we know, apichsidus also, the goof represents something, represents what's l'mayla. There's yumin, smol, and emtsa corresponding to the bottom of the body. The hifkin lemi menu binyan, and he prepared For him, out of himself, was created out of Adam, an everlasting building, an everlasting edifice. Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer Adam. So Rashi explains these two brachas, Yotzer Adam, versus this next one, this longer one, Yotzer Adam. One that the Gemara is going to explain soon. It's talking about two different creations of Adam and Chava. One is talking about the creation. The second one is talking about the creation of Chava. And since we're mentioning that, then we also have to have a bracha talking about the creation of Adam. As the Gemara is going to point out soon, there's kind of two stages in that creation.
One
of just Adam, and one of the, well, we'll talk about soon, whether it was just Adam or Adam and Chava combined, whatever, we'll get to that soon in the Gemara. Number four, Soy Status Visagil HaAkara, the Akara, the barren one, will rejoice and be happy. The Kibbutz Fanel Vasecha B'Simcha, when her children are gathered into her with Simcha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Sameach Tzion B'Vanel. The Akara represents Yerushalayim. Marsha explained, actually, it's not just, I mean, on the simple level, of course, there's the idea that right now she's like a barren woman because she's desolate of her children. Marsha also explains in a more positive sense that the Gemara in Brachas, where a min argues with Bruya on this topic, and she tells him, you know what it means when the Pasuk calls, when the Pasuk calls out Yisrael and Yerushalayim and Akara, it means that she's not destined to have the kind of children like you who are going to wind up in Gehenna. So she's Akara, in other words, of bad children. Of bad children. So therefore, we mention that also over here, he says. Well, that's the straightforward meaning of it. Yeah. So Rashi points out we add this bracha in at this. So Rashi says like this: the first couple of brachas that we have over here, Shehakol Bar L'Chavodoy, is not really yet about the Chas and Kala. Shehakol Bar L'Chavodoy, Rashi says, is essentially for the fact that you have a lot of Jews gathered over here. They're gathering together in honor of the Chas and Kala, and that also brings honor to Hashem. So therefore, we start with that. Then again, we have the Yotzer Adam and Asher Yotzer Asher B'Tzamei, which refer respectively to the creation of Adam and Chava. So we're still not really getting to the brachas about this particular Chasen and Kala yet. So now we're going to be starting the actual sequence of brachas that deals with the Chasen and Kala. Imloy Alas Yerushalayim Areshim Chasi. We have to first mention Yerushalayim before any of our other Simcha. Therefore, we put in here the brachas Sayyid Tassi.
Yerushalayim comes first.
Next. Samach to Samach Reima Ahuvim, we ask Ebishtha, you should make happy the beloved friends, as you made your creature, meaning Adam and Chava, happy in Gan Eden Mikedem. Baruch Atah Hashem, Sameach Kasta Mikala. Mikedem, by the way, has two possible meanings. In the Pasuk, the Pasuk mentions Gan Eden Mikedem, where the word Mikedem there means in the east. The word Mikedem can also mean from olden times. Different Mepharshim take different views about what it means here in the bracha. The Rebbe actually has there's a letter that the Rebbe once wrote to somebody where he explains that in the bracha over here, it has to dafka mean mikedem in the temporal sense, in the sense of olden times, not from the east, because then the expression should be bagan ba'eden mikedem or something like that, which would be closer to Lashon HaPasuk. So rather the point is that we're saying that the Eibishter should make them just as happy as Adam and Chava were mikedem before the Chatei Tadas even. And the last bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Barach Tzatzin V'Simcha, Chasen V'Kala, Gila Rina Ditzi V'Chedva, Ava V'Achva V'Shalom V'Reyus. The Zohar mentions in a couple of places that there's 10 Lashonis of Simcha in this bracha, which you get, you arrive at that, and actually if you count the number of nouns over there, Tzatzin, Simcha, Chasen V'Kala, there are 12 of them. The Ramban, in fact, writes in one of his drashas that there's supposed to be 12 because it corresponds to the 12 months of the year. The 12 months that are Chas and Kala are B'Simcha together. But the Zohar talks about that there's 10, either by leaving out Chas and Kala or by leaving out, I think, Av of Achva. And the idea, and the Zohar talks about that relates to the 10 spheres. There's one of the Maimorim that the Friedrich Rebbe said by the wedding of the Rebbe and the Rebbe, and now being Chofed Shvat, it's especially appropriate to talk about that. One of the Maimorim, the Friedrich Rebbe, said during the Sheva Barachas, discussed this idea, what's the significance of the fact that we have 10 expressions, and in particular, what's the idea why we have Sos and V'Simcha before Chos and V'Kala. It's a long. It was actually two Maimorim. It was a Hemshech of two Maimorim. It's a bit of a long explanation, but the gist of it is the Chas and Kala that we're referring to here actually is the Chas and Kala as they are Lamaila. And the idea is our job is to bring down Chas and Simcha into that, and then that comes down to the Chas and Kala down here on earth. We continue in the bracha. Mehera Hashem alekeinu yishama ba'ara Yehuda of chutzis Yerushalayim. Very soon Hashem, there should be heard in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim. Kol sasin v'kol simcha, kol chasin v'kol kala, kol metalas chasanim v'chapasim. The sound of chasanim rejoicing in the chuppah and orim mishten nignasim, and then young men at the parties where they're singing. Baruch Atah Hashem esmeh chasin im hakala. So why the difference? Why the previous bracha ends with Sameach Chasen Vikala and this one ends with Sameach Chasen Im Hakala? So Rashi says the difference is like this. The first one, Sameach Chasen Vikala, Rashi says, is a general thing. We're not specifically talking about the Simcha V'chasana. We're davening in the bracha Sois Tatsis. We're davening that they should have a flacha throughout their lives. So Baruch Atah Hashem Sameach Chasen V'Kala. Hashem makes the Chasen and Kala happy that they have Mizonis, that they have Parnasa, etc. The seventh one, the sixth one, whatever, the last bracha over here, Ashvara Sasim Simcha, we're praising Hashem that there is the Simcha of marriage. And therefore it's appropriate to end off with Sameach Chasen Im HaKala, that they have the relationship of marriage, the specific relationship of marriage. There's different other explanations also. There's an explanation from Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah that the first one, Sameach Chasen V'Kala, is not referring to this Chasen Kala, it's referring to the original Chasen Kala, Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. With Sameach Chasen Im HaKala is talking about the Chasen Kala who are with us now. The Abu Draham says something along the lines of that Sameach Chasen Im HaKala, he says, is referring to the simcha that they're going to have afterwards when they have relations, when they start having a physical relationship. The chasen has, in a way, a little bit more of a simcha than the kala does because she has the pain of the first vela. So therefore, Sameach Chasen Im HaKala, the chasen has the joy with, meaning by sort of by means of the kala. So in Torah, at the end of Parshas Vayigash, the Alter Rebbe explains up in Chassidus. There's an idea. Hello. Now the idea is the chasen. The chasen nowadays. The chasen is nowadays we perceive the chasen as on a higher level than the kala. La'asid lava, it's going to be the other way around. The kever to save of gever. That's why the kala surrounds the chasen. So therefore, so first we say Mesameach Chasen V'Kala, that they're on, not so much higher than, but like they're on an equal level. Later on, it'll be Mesameach Chasen Im HaKala, that in a way, like the Chasen will be like the secondary to Im, he's with the Kala, who is the main thing.
What's
going to be different? I mean, one thing the Alter Rebbe points out over there, you know, when you get down to it, the Kala in a wedding nowadays is completely passive. The chasen is the one who says Hareyat Mekudeshesli, and he's the one who puts the ring on her finger. She just stands there. That reflects the state of affairs nowadays, where Malchus is makabel, is only makabel from the higher sphere. Loss of love, it'll be the other way around. The advantage of Malchus over Zah. So then, what the actual difference will be in the wedding ceremony? I don't know. I don't think he discusses it. But there is this idea that we'll see more openly the advantage of the kala over the chasen, and therefore Sameach Chasen Im HaKala. She's the main star of the show, and he's coming along for the ride, kind of. As far as the issue why are some of these brachas short and some of them are long and some of them begin with baruch and some of them don't, so Rashi explains briefly like this. Shako baruch vayda is a short bracha. There's only the one topic in it that we're praising Hashem for that there's this whole gathering of people which honors Hashem. So therefore it begins with baruch because everyone in a series of brachas has to begin with baruch. Let me rephrase that. When you have a series of brachas, the first one in the series has to begin with baruch. The second one, Yotzei Adam, also has to be baruch again because it's a short bracha. You can't just have it. It's a short bracha, so therefore necessarily it has to begin with baruch because it's a one line bracha. You can't twist it once out. You can't just have it be a statement followed by Baruch Atah Hashem because then it will seem like a continuation of the previous bracha. similar, it's actually not sort of a psalm, but the same issue, that it'll look like a continuation of the previous one. But that's already a longer one. They already have two topics in bracha, that Hashem created man, and that he created Chava out of him, so therefore it has to end with a separate bracha Hashem, Yotzer Adam. First task is already, the other thing is also, given that Shehakol, Torah Yotzer Adam, why it begins with Baruch, actually says a different thing. Given that Shehakol Baruch Vodah is just an honor of the gathering, technically it wouldn't really need to be said by the Chuppah there at all. Technically you could say it much earlier when everybody's starting to gather. But once you're already going to be saying a whole bunch of brachas, you might as well say them all together. But therefore, when it was Yotzer Adam, is sort of like the real beginning of the sequence. So it begins with Baruch, but Shehakol Baruch Vodah also, because it kind of stands on its own, also begins with Baruch. Yotzer Adam begins with Baruch, because otherwise it would... Not Yotzer Adam. Actually, Yotzer Adam Salma begins with Baruch, because otherwise it would be a continuation of the previous one. It has to be shown as a bracha of its own. Then Sos Tartis doesn't, because it's a continuation of the sequence. Therefore, it doesn't need to begin with Baruch. Neither does Samach to Samach. The last one... The last one, Ashabara, starts in the Simcha, as the Gemara is going to say soon, if you don't have Panim Kadoshes, then throughout the rest of the days of Sheva Barachas, that's the only Baracha you say, so sometimes it's said by itself, therefore it has to begin with Baruch. Yeah. In Chassidus, in a few places, it talks about the couple of Maimarim from the Rebbe Marash on this topic, that one thing is, on a deeper level, one of the many things that Chassan and Kala respectively represent, the Chassan represents Tereshi Chassav and the Kala represents Tereshi Valpeh. Which also goes back to this idea that the Kala is Makabal from the Chassan to the Tereshi Valpeh is Makabal from Tereshi Chassav. And we know, the Gemara mentions in a few places, the importance of Shalot Verichot B'Torah Tchila, that it's important you have to say Baraka on the Torah before you start learning it. Similarly here, when we're starting off the series of Barakas, we have to begin with Barakat Hashem to symbolize that idea. Continues the Gemara. Levi ikbal bei Rebbe b'hilula de Shimon Bnei. One time, Levi visited Rebbe's house by the wedding of his son Reb Shimon, Rebbe's son Reb Shimon. Baruch Chamish, and Levi said five brachas. What we really mean is six. Again, he said the bracha on wine. Fine. We're not mentioning that over here. We're just counting that. But of the six brachas that we say over here, he said only five. Rashi says he left out Yotzer Adam. Because he figured that it's basically the same topic as Ashley Yotzer Adam, which actually that's the Gemara's going to get to that in a minute. So why he skipped that? Other Mepharshim say that maybe it was the other way around. Maybe he said Yotzer Adam, he skipped Ashley Yotzer Adam. Whatever, he said one but not the other of them. On the other hand, Rav Asi equal of Rav Ashi, but he lulled in my brain. Rav Asi visited Rav Ashi's house at the wedding of Baki's son Mar, the famous Mar Rav Baki from Shas, Baruch Shitz, and he said all six brachas over here. So is it five or is it six? Or in modern terms, is it six or is it seven? So, Lema B'Hakam, if we include the wine, then yes. So Lema B'Hakam, should we say then that the underlying machlokas is as follows? Levi would hold that there was only one creation. They created Adam and Chava, and that was it. Umar Sava Shekhtir Sava. And the other opinion is that there were two different creations. By one creation versus two. So Rashi says, we learn in Abraham, the Gemara says, that there's an opinion there that originally Adam was created as a two-headed creature. Adam in front and Chava and Chava behind and Chava behind him, and then they just separated them. That would be Yetzirah. That would be Chodi Yetzirah. Shtei Yetzirah would be the way that we learn it in Seder, that they just created Adam with an extra appendage, an extra rib, and then he built that up into a human being, Chava. That would be Chodi Yetzirah, Shtei Yetzirah. Tosfos explains differently that we're talking about whether the other way around that Chobi Yetzirah would be that originally there was only one parasuf, there was only one human form, and then Hashem created Chava out of that. Shtei Yetzirah would mean that to begin with they were created as two fully formed human beings just joined together. Anyway. So the Gemara explains that the word "selah" can also mean a side. A side. Well, Tzela HaMishkan, for example, means the side of the Mishkan. So it can mean that they were like Siamese twins. There's a fully formed man on one side, a fully formed woman on the other, and all they ever had to do is split them. And then the Gemara explains over there that the even as a tzela, according to that, doesn't mean the Ebishter built it up into a human being because it already had a human form. It means by even means that the Ebishter braided her hair, or that he built her, that he built a woman has a woman's body has a different shape than a man, so that she's able to carry a baby, etc. So anyway, so if we take the view then, Levi versus Rabasi, that Levi holds then there was one Yitzhira, and Rabasi holds up there was two, then that would explain why Levi is saying only one bracha creation of man, and Rabasi is saying two. The answer is low. The Kulam Achad Yitzhira, you know, you could say that everybody agrees there was only one creation, which again, according to Rashi, means both of them might agree that originally it was one, two, that originally it was one Siamese twin party, and they just split it. One opinion is that we go according to Hashem's thought, that, so to speak, the Gemara explains there in Erevin that Hashem originally intended to create two beings, and in the end he created only one. So if we go according to Machshava, that's to begin with, it was destined that there should be two. And the other one said that you go according to what was actually created, which in the end only one was created.
And we said that he had two thoughts about that.
So before we talk about what does it mean when you say Hashem's thought versus his action, I mean, does Hashem change his mind? What is that? Hashem thought something and then he realized it's not going to work out. So many, many different Mephoshim talk about this here and more generally when we say that Hashem thought to do X and then did Y. One idea of it is, and this is brought up, it's also the idea that when we say that Hashem thought something, it means that Hashem created that there should be that potential. In actuality, in our world as we live it comes out differently. So in potential, the original idea was the Abish thought, the way the Abish thought it. So to begin with, Hashem intended that there should be two creatures. So Marsha, for example, says the idea that originally, so to speak, Hashem intended that there should be two. And that creates the ability for there to be a male and a female. But in practice, Abish realized that, not realized, but that in the actual imperfect world that we live in, that would end up being two features that were created separately. There's not going to be any harmony between them. People are naturally selfish that way. Therefore, Abish, in the actual reality of our world, Hashem had to create them as one body in order that there should be that potential for them to be able to unite together. But even that, for example, Rashi says, why is it throughout the first chapter of Bereshit that uses the word Elikim, and after that, of course, using Hashem Elikim? So Rashi says the same idea that originally Hashem, from Medrash, that originally Hashem intended to create the world of Midas Adin, Elikim, and afterwards he saw this Maharaj. So he joined Midas Arach, and there you have the same idea. The Maharal, for example, explains on that, but the idea is they wish to create the world that should have potential to be able to live only according to Din. And thus you have the great tzaddikim in the world who indeed are only able to live based on the Ebishter Din. The Gemara mentioned in Brachas, for example, that there are certain people like, so to speak, they don't need to rely on the chesed of Hashem. They're able to, so to speak, to demand by right that Hashem should do good for them. But for the general amount of people, it doesn't work that way, and therefore they're just admitted. So the simple idea over here, the thought versus the action. The thought gives it that the world has the potential to do such a thing, and the action is, you know, right now we live in a perfect world, and so that's how things are. Because when you're coming down from Kurdish and Kassad into Lost Kurdish into Aramaic, right, you're automatically descending down from that rarefied level where you can live based on getting to the level of the world we live in, we need Nehemiah. So going back to Levi and Rabasi, you're saying you need to say only one bracha on the creation of man. phenomenon, the creation of mankind, then that reflects the idea that in reality only one figure was created, only one body was created, which had two figures which were then separated. We say that the evil of them reflect Hashem's thought that there are going to be two. We're going to put it the other way around. The machshava is that there was going to be only one, and in reality there ended up being two. Rav Ash equal the Kana. Rav Ash visited the house of Kana. Yom Kippur Baruch Hu, and the first day of the wedding that took place over there, he said all of these brachas. Mikan Ve'elah. After that, he ate Parim Chadashas Baruch Hu. If there were Parim Chadashas, as we discussed before, then he said all the brachas. If he loyed, if not, which he said Chachamu, then we say that's just a matter of increasing Simcha. It was not the extra Simcha that you get from having Parim Chadashas, as we said before. But there is a Simcha involved, but not as great. Therefore, Baruch Chas Simcha B'Mayin. Therefore, when you say, and then you only say, oh, the Shabbat, you only say the Rosh Hashanah, not the other ones. We thank Hashem and the Baruch of Kenner Shah Simcha of Ono, that Simcha in his dwelling, Shachanah Mishalai, that we ate what belongs to him. The question of why exactly the expression has to come from only by mine, and they explain various before talk about the idea that Gemara, what we looked at Chagiga earlier this year, that there's seven heavens, and one of them is called mine, and that's in particular where Malach and Asharis lived on the feet. But this one, Malach and Asharis, in particular, they're the ones, they were the band and the entertainers and the guests of everybody by all the top of the thing, and they're appropriate to mention past improvement more. Yeah. Incidentally, by the way, it's brought into the from the back that we support this quite a number of times, that you don't see past improvement if it's mixed men and women. By the way, since we were talking before about one reason why the brachas have a structure of you is because the brachas have a structure one after the other, the various post-machronim discussed in that connection, you know, we know by any wedding that any of us have ever been to, any wedding or any shiva brachas, they parcel out the brachas to different people. Is that really right to do? If the idea is that the various brachas don't begin with Baruch Ata Hashem because each one is following a previous one, then it's necessarily right to be giving them to different people. So there are actually some folks in Machorim who say you shouldn't do that. But others say it's not, others say it's not such an issue. And then the fact that I'm a devout, you see that everybody does probably that. Yeah. Well, we see no Gemara over here, for example. We said that Levi said all the brachas, Ravasi said all the brachas, and Ravasi. But the first two brachas, yes. But the first two brachas, I don't know, there seems to be less of a reason to do that, given that Rashi is saying that Shaka Baruch Chloda anyway is not even one of the brachas that directly relates to the wedding, it's just in honor of the assembled guests. But maybe it's because they're too short brachas, so they figure somebody should have that. But, I don't know, maybe. I should mention, by the way, as far as the sequence of brachas, Marsha mentioned the idea that the reason why you have the first three of them, Shehakol Baruch, it reflects that the pasuk says, Kol Nikru Shigim L'Chvoidi, everything that's created, everything that's called after my name, for my honor, Brachasi, if I created it, Sarasi, if I fashioned it, Atasisi, if I was made it, which is where we get the name, B'Yetzirasiya. So he explained that we have that reflected in these two brothers. Jack or Baruch also pointed out, reflect the Rodim. Yoter Adam is deceptive. And Behitzkin Lemim Nabini and Adi Ab, they wish to fashion Adam into and made Ab him as a seer. Is a seer. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. After the 7 days, after the 7 days of Sefer Brachos, until 3 days have passed from the wedding, whether people are being invited to the meal because of the wedding, as a continuation of wedding festivities, or not, he still continues saying chasing for Moinai in Jerusalem. After that, after 3 days, if he tells the guest that's inviting you as a follow-up to the wedding, then you should say that. And if not, then not. So the rule is like this. In other words, 7 days or 7 till 3 depends whether he's... From 7 till 30 also, it's assumed. After 30, only if he explicitly tells them this is the continuation of the wedding. By the way, the post can point out that nowadays we don't follow that. Nowadays, with the length of the goals, we don't have to simcha anymore, that after 7 days we should continue saying Shastim Kumbhmanu. So we just say Shastim Kumbhmanu in the 7 days, and that's it. The question is... Yeah, as far as I know. Even if there's other stuff on goals. Okay, so if the person is inviting people to a meal in honor of a continuation of a wedding, then up to what point do we say it's still considered a continuation? And you say, Shasim from the mind. Up till 12 months. So even as much as 12 months after the wedding, if he's telling them, this is still a continuation of my wedding, I'm inviting you to a thing, then you say, Shasim from the mind. At what point do you start saying, Shasim from the mind? Once they place barley into the container. So what does that mean? Rashi says two explanations. One is they used to make beer out of barley. You have to smoke the barley first in order to make beer out of it. So once they start smoking the barley, then it shows that you're starting to prepare stuff for the wedding, then it's an appropriate time to start saying chasim from the wedding. Again, halakha is not like that nowadays. We say it only from the actual wedding onward. The second explanation actually Tosfos argues with that. It's Tosfos and Avodah Zarah where this topic is brought. Also argues on that. Tosfos points out that in those days they never made beer out of barley. Their normal beer was made out of date. So Rashi you mentioned, and Tosfos agrees there with the second explanation of Rashi, that what it was is they would plant barley seeds in a flower pot or something, and they'd use it as eventually the seeds would start growing, and they'd bring it in front of the chatan kala as like a simon toy. Like you should have as many children, you should be fruitful and multiply like these seeds. They would plant barley seeds before the wedding. They'd bring it in front of the chatan kala during the wedding. But what we're saying here, once they plant those seeds, then already showing that you're really getting close to the wedding. The preparations are on high gear. So then you're going to already start saying chatan from the wedding. No, this is after the tradition. This is before the mitzvah. You're telling me that you only start at that point close to the wedding. But a papa, the article of Abamar, will be fine that a papa made a shidduch for his son Abamar, or Baruch Mishap Abraham. And he actually started saying Shasim Kumbhmanu when he was doing the month, all the way in the time of Abraham. The answer is trying to get a papa to have a triach, but your papa is different. Everything the wedding was ready for him. Rav Papa, we find in various places in the Gemara, was very rich. Rav Papa had sinus and beer, so according to Rashi's first explanation, the beer was already ready, better need to start preparing a special batch of it. But well, according to the second explanation, or according to whatever, Rav Papa was very rich. Therefore, yes, everything that you need for weddings, he already has on stock. And he already has in stock. Another case, as Ravina, he asked the claims of Ravina made a shit for his son with the family of Rakhadeva, who bought it from Shas Eretzin. And he also started saying, Shas and Kuma are naturally Eretzin. Omar, because he said, keenly, because I know for a fact that they're not going to withdraw, they're not going to break the shit. However, lawyers, I have also had it, and the Eretzin worked out, and the shit did get broken off. The Ritzvah has an explanation in this, by the way, that what we're talking about, when we say here that they said the Brahma Shas Eretzin, Now, usually throughout the Shabbos, we know the word Eruv in the Kiddushin. But for you, it can mean that. And if it means happen, what we mean is Hadrib Rahu changes his mind. He says, how can I get? He says, yes, that is what it means. But Hadrib Rahu doesn't mean they broke the Shidduch. It means they changed their mind at the date of wedding. So maybe the Shidduch did end up happening. But the Rino was sure that they're not going to change the date of the wedding. And it turned out that wasn't the case. Well, I mean, what Sir Rabino was saying, for example, you know, we're already planting the barley seeds or whatever it is, that means... He didn't. He said each one of them in a longer version, and each one ending with Baruch Hashem, Shachar Baruch Hu, Yotzei Adam, as the case may be. However, the Let's Hilchos HaKatzeh, the halacha is not like it. You do like we said in the Hebrew. A couple of them, some of them are short brachas, some of them are long brachas. For short brachas, the rest of them. We don't exactly, although although various Rishonim bring from Rav Shmuel Gaon, that he had a nusach of Shachar Baruch Hu that was a little longer than we say. When does the have Shachar Baruch Hu in a few extra words after that? It's still considered a short bracha because it's only one line or two lines or whatever, and it doesn't end with a separate Baruch Atah Hashem. But yeah, his givus was a little bit longer than ours. Another case, Rav Chaviva Ikul Ben Mechula. Rav Chaviva one time visited, was at a bris, Baruch Shasimcha B'marino, and he said Shasimcha B'marino during benching afterwards, because he felt also there was a simcha over there by a bris. But, let's also come and say, the halacha is not like him either. Because the simcha by a bris is not a total one. Everyone's a little distracted. It's like farali yinukha, because the baby is having pain. So it's not a complete simcha. We're making the zimun. He said chat simple by no, but we don't do that by Brit because the baby is having pain. For the same reason, by the way, this is why we don't say chat simple by Brit either. I don't know what minute Israel is, but I think the Swedish minute is indeed chat simple, but the standard Ashkenazi minute in the rest of the world is not to. Same idea. Another thing on this topic, Amar of Nachman, the chassan counts as one of the 10 people for Shabbat brachas. The other does not count as one of 10 for his bracha, which we'll talk about soon. What bracha we're talking about? Mitzvah Gemara says have a contradiction. Chassan and Bavel min aminim. A Braita says that both the chassan and the obel do count. The answer is what? This is Rav was the one who said that there's a difference. How are you doing a brighter? Rav has the status, even though normally we think of Rav as a murder. He also has the status of a Tana, and therefore he's entitled to argue against the brighter. Historically, Rav was kind of in the transitional generation. He was one of the Talmidim of Yehuda HaNasi, which makes him more or less the same generation as Rashiya and Roshiya and that same group. But he also belongs to the generation of Amaroyim. The Goyim bring that there were a few places in Shaks where there's a Braisa that says the name of Abba, and that's Rav. Yeah. Itmar, so now they said a further discussion about this. It's not so simple. Rabbi Yitzchok says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan the same thing that Rav said, that the chassan counts as one of the as part of the minyan, but the obel doesn't. And again, maybe chassan and bavela min aminyan, I have a contradiction. The Braita says that chassan and bavela both count. Now, first this point out, why did the Gemara say Rabbi Yechanan could say I hold my Rav, or I'm also a Tana. So Rabbi Yochanan does not consider the Tanna, actually, for historical reasons. He was younger than Rab, he belonged, like, already to the next generation. But why doesn't he say, I hold the Rab? Because Rabbi Yochanan himself didn't think of Rab for being a Tanna. We talked about Shas, so Rabbi Yochanan often argued with Rab. And in fact, many times, Allah is vice Rabbi Yochanan. So all Gemara is saying over here that Rab has a status of Tanna for certain purposes. Rabbi Yochanan himself didn't necessarily agree with that, so he can't say, you know what, I have Rab to rely on, I'm not good enough. No, he has to find a way to be able to stand for himself against this.
He wouldn't agree
that Rab is considered a Tanna. The answer is, the difference is, the Braisa it talks about when it comes to benching. Rashi says that means as far as when you need three people to be Mizanin. The Braisa is saying that the Oval counts as one of the three because he's higher than all the mitzvahs. Tikkam or Rabbi Yochanan, Beshura. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about benching at all. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the Shura. When after the burial, we do this nowadays also, the oval sits or stands in the middle. Rashi says sits, other places it says stands, whatever, and people gather around in rows. There's a row of people on each side, or maybe rows and rows of people, whatever. And the Menachem, and they walk by, the family's the Menachem Eschem. For the Shura, you need 10 people. For Shura, the oval doesn't count to that. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. But as far as benching, yeah, the oval counts just like everybody else counts. Tosfos argues with Rashi on that because, of course, the oval of Chayiv and Mitzvah, of course, he's Chayiv and benching, and therefore he can count towards the Mizum and what's the Chiddush. Tosfos says that, no, what we're talking about is later on the Omer, we're going to talk about the special bracha that they would say in benching in honor of the oval, but we're saying that the oval can't. A Muslim, we're going to Rashi or Tosfos respectively, the oval does count. When it comes to the Shura, he doesn't. The Shura, the line of people who stand by the sides over there and the oval walks by and they come for him at the burial. I think I'm going to ask the Omer of Yitzchak Omer of Yitzchak. And what about another statement that Yitzchak said his name of Yitzchak? You say the Yitzchak Hassanim, the Sheva Brachas that we talked about before. Minion, and the chosen counts as one of that minion. Ubirkas Avelim Basar, Vein Avelim Na Minion, and then you say the bracha of Avelim, you also need minion, but the oval does not count for that. What do you mean? If you're talking about the Shura, bracha of Shura Meika, there's no bracha over there. Everybody says, I'm walking in Akhmet, I'm not a bracha. Ella, no. Kikamer, Rav Yochanan, bracha. So no, what Rav Yochanan is talking about, when he says that the oval does not count, he's talking about what takes place in the square. We learned in Mount Cotton that the first meal that an oval eats after the burial is not supposed to be his own food. Other people are supposed to be bringing him food. Minig in those days was that generally that meal would take place in a public square. Or the Yerushalmi talks about sometimes it would be in shul, whatever it is. So then they all sit over there they eat this meal together. And as we might explain later on, they would say special bracha in the course of mass by benching. During benching or after benching, and that's the bracha that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, that you need 10 people besides for the oval. the question is still the Elohad Amir Yitzchak Amir Rabbi Yechanan, but you have yet another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Mavokim Birkas Hashanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. You say the Birkas Hashanim is with the minion throughout all 7 days of Sheva Brachos. The Hashanim in a minion, and the Chosid counts as one of the 10. Well, Birkas Aveilim Ba'asara Kol Shiva, and you say the Birkas Aveilim, you also need a minion for all the 7 days of Shiva. The Aveilim in a minion, and the Hovel does not count. So what do you mean? Birkas Rechava Kol Shiva, and you go, how do you have the Birkas Rechava throughout the 7 days? The Birkas Rechava, we just said, is the first meal, the Sudha Sabra that takes place after the burial, so it's only the first day. You don't have the 6 days. And the answer is, Mashkacha Sabra Pantim Chadashis. You would have, you would still say this Bracha again, if you have Pantim Chadashis. The same principle that we said before, that if you have Pantim Chadashis by a Shev Bracha, it adds to the Simcha, and therefore you say all the Brachas over again. The same thing when it comes to, the same idea, having Panim Chadashis over there creates a new chiyuv to the Seder Brachos. And the Gemara gives an example. Rav Chiya Ba'Abba used to teach Tanakh, Chumash, Tanakh, whatever, to the children of Rish Lakish. Others say that he didn't teach him Tanakh, he called him Shnayis, Masni means Shnayis. Either way, Shachir La'Yinotza. A child passed away for him. This is the first one we talk about. Do we mean Rav Chiya Ba'Abba's child, or do we mean Rish Lakish's child? Whatever it is, Yoyba Kamala also like that. It's the first day he didn't go to Bimin Akhmalo. One second. We're going to say, as I was going to mention in a minute, there were actually two different versions of the story. One is that it was a Yanuka child. The other is, I was going to say, assuming that it was a Bachar, a young man, but not yet married. Anyway, Yoyba Kamala also like that. The first day he didn't go to visit him. The Machar, the next day, Avril Yehuda Bar Nachmeni Metrugme, he brought along with him Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, who was his Metrugman, he was Rosh Lakish's Metrugman. Usually we've talked about poor idea that Rosh Shiva in those days, when he was giving a drosh or a shir or whatever, or Rav, when he was giving a drosh, he would say his point fairly quietly, and the Metrugman would explain it and say it out loud to everybody else. So Yehuda Bar Nachmeni was Rosh Lakish's Metrugman. So he brought him along with him. On the line, he said to him, "Kume, imamilsa kol kavul yinuka. Get up and say something about the event with the child." Rashi just says, he's telling him, say something comforting. Say some words in the chava about the death of the child. Marshal says a little different. He's telling him, say something to explain what could be the reason why this child died. So he started saying like this. The pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem v'yinot v'kas bonav v'noisav." Hashem saw and he was angry because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Meaning, Joseph of his Menasim Lachadosh Baruch, when you have a generation with fathers, make Hashem angry. Koyes habneim v'abneiseim. Then Hashem, so to speak, takes out his anger on their children, on their sons and their daughters, who made them kshentanim, and then they died young. We learned in Shabbos that Rachman al-Sana, a person's young children, can be taken as a punishment for his affairs. That's more than that in a minute. How is that a statement of comfort on the face of it? It sounds the other way around. It sounds like he's accusing Rish Lakish or Chiyav Abba, whoever the son was, of doing something wrong. But wait, we'll get back to that in a minute. The Ikatamri, another version is Bachar Abba, that this child who died wasn't a child, he was a young man. The Hakikam, and then according to that, what Yehuda Ben Chmeini got up and said, he quoted a pasuk as follows from Yeshaya. Okay, because of this, because of the Averis of those people, Al Bachur of Lo Yitzmach Hashem, Hashem will not be happy with the Bacharim. That he's saying of Esamonos of Lo Yirachim, he won't have Rachmanos on the orphans and on the widows. He called it Chone for Merea, because everybody is hypocritical and doing evil. And every mouth is speaking Nevala, disgusting words. Even with all of this, Hashem's anger has not withdrawn, but his hand is still outstretched. So my oyjav in Nitzuria, what does that mean? Hashem's hand is still outstretched. Everybody knows what a kala is going into the chuppah for. We know they're going to be having relations. Ella, Kolam and Navalpiv, but somebody who makes his mouth disgusting, or Moti Dvaravalmapiv, and he says something disgusting out of his mouth. In other words, he says bluntly what's going to be going on over there, where it's unnecessary. Then I feel that's the Kolpedogen of Allah from the Pasuk. I feel Nechtam, like Zagdin Shoshivim Shanalatova, then even if there's already been sealed for him in Shemayim a decree that he should have 70 years of good, Nechtam turns to him to evil, to bad. That the Rashi explains, we get this from V'oid Yodinaturia, V'oid, we now should, like it said, V'ad, like forever, for the whole lifetime of the person, Yodinaturia, Hashem's hand is outstretched against him. Marshall says a little differently, that the verse is V'oid Yodinaturia, like Hashem says, so to speak, okay, I'm not going to bring evil on you necessarily, but I'll withdraw my hand. I had my hand stuck out ready to give you good. You're not behaving the way you should, so I'll withdraw my hand. Automatically, all kinds of bad things are going to happen. The expression by the column and novel people mostly divine and volume appear sounds repetitious. So the Rebecca Behavior quotes over here on the side in Giron Ashas from a Taz in Shulchan Aruch, who explains that the vote is it means when it's not talking the Gemara is not talking about somebody who accidentally says a divine Nivala, somebody who accidentally says a bad word or whatever. We're talking about calling him a Nabal Piv, that he's doing it deliberately. He's deliberately making his mouth filthy or mostly divine Nivala and actually saying it out purposely.
That's why
the Lashon is double, like he's doing it on purpose and not just inadvertently. The Hafla explains a little differently. He says the word is manapir means somebody who's thinking these kinds of thoughts too much. That already like it makes it be on the tip of his tongue, and therefore makes it much more likely that a moitzid v'arnevala that will actually say that. And the Maharal explains why it's such a harsh punishment, because the whole advantage of a human being over the animals is that he has the ability to talk. So if a person just uses it for this kind of thing, then yeah. Anyway, so the question. No, but that's it. But on the other hand, it's. So the question is, what you asked, Aslam Homi Tzuri Komatzarla, he's supposed to be comforting him, and instead he's causing him pain. No, what he means is Hachikamalei. What Yehuda Ben Achmeni means with this drasha of his, according to either version, he's saying to the father, Chashiv Atla Apusi Atara. You are so important in the Eibishter's eyes that you're being seized. That you're taking on yourself. You're being brought the punishment that by rights should have gone to the whole generation. You're being the kapara for the whole generation. In other words, which is a nechama. I think we'll stop over here. It's almost a matter of time, and we'll continue tomorrow. The Gemara is going to continue with the actual brachos that he said, which is what got us into this discussion over here. We wanted to prove the brachos even after the first day. Tomorrow we'll have the actual proof of it, because Rish Lakish told them to say the respective brachos. So to be continued, Bez Hashem.